Wake up, everybody. It's time for the best new podcast with the best new country artists in the world. It's time for Up and Country. I'm your host, Ike Everard, and join me for the next half an hour as I take you on a journey with one of my favorite new country artists.
Welcome into Up and Country, everybody. It is great to be back here for season two. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Ike Everard. As always, I'll be your host today as I talk to one of my favorite country music stars. A guy who's really on the come up, who's been making waves throughout Nashville and throughout the industry, is Walker Montgomery. And he's very interesting because his uncle and his dad were famous country music singers. His uncle actually part of Montgomery Gentry. And so he grew up around it, but he said he never felt pressured. Talked to him a lot about that, about his family legacy carrying that on, and also just about his creative process and what goes into his music, plus some other fun stuff. So if you want to get to know Walker Montgomery, without further ado, here's my conversation with him. Welcome back into Up and Country. I'm Ike Everett, and now I'm joined by Walker Montgomery, and Walker's the guy that I've been following for a while. Walker, glad to have you on the show.
Hey, man. Well, I appreciate you having me on. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, so let's start things off. I mean, we just had a holiday. What'd you do for Thanksgiving?
Well, I'll tell you what. I wish I could have been with my grandparents because of COVID and everything. We just stayed at the house and cooked up a big old turkey and watched some football. So just me and the family. So it was a good Thanksgiving. A little bit weird, but it was still good.
Hey, not a bad time. You got a fantasy football team?
No, man. I'll tell you what. I did it last year for the first time, and I did fairly well, but I just didn't want to lose any more money. I'm just cheering on my Browns with no fantasy team this year.
I don't blame you. No, Thanksgiving was fun. I had the Washington running back, and I needed him to do well to beat my dad, and he had 3 touchdowns, so that was good.
Well, it's a fun thing, though, man. I'll tell you what, I kind of wish I would have gotten into it early.
Yeah, no, it's a good time. Maybe you give it a shot next year. Who knows? I thought you had a Browns shirt on your Instagram. Are you the Browns fan?
Yeah, man, I'm a Brown. You know, living in Kentucky, it's Tennessee, Cincinnati, or the Cleveland Browns. So, except for this year, really, you're screwed either way. So I guess I chose the Browns, and of course some Kentucky players, Tim Couch and all them have gone to the Browns before. But we're having a pretty good season this year, man. I'm happy about what we're doing.
Yeah. You like Baker?
Mm-hmm. I do like Baker. I know it gets a bad rap, but I know a lot of it's kind of brought on to himself. But no, I think once he gets his head together, he's gonna be really good. And I like this coach too we got.
Yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm a Seahawks fan. I don't watch a ton of the Browns, but those commercials with Baker in them are pretty good.
No, man, he's got a personality on him, man.
He does.
Seahawks won last night, though. I was kind of scared for him against Philadelphia.
I know. Well, you never know with the Seahawks. We always bring it down to the wire, but
yeah.
It was a good win. It was a good win. But let's get into the music. So,
yeah, man,
you're signed to Play It Again Entertainment now, correct?
Yeah, man. So I signed with them. I guess it was November 2019. I signed with Play It Again. And so I got a little bit in before COVID hit, but man, it's been great over there. I grew up listening to Dallas Davidson songs. If y'all know who Dallas Davidson is, man, if there's a Luke Bryan song on the radio, he probably wrote it.
Yeah.
If there's like a 2010 song on the radio, he probably wrote it. There was a co-writer on it.
But, yeah.
It's just been a dream come true over there, man. And we've done some really good things, and obviously with COVID going on, we kind of had to put our sales down, but we're putting them back up, and it's a windy day. I'm excited to see where this whole thing goes.
Yeah, I mean, working with a legend like that is really cool. What's the best thing you've learned from him?
Man, just, you know, patience is key, and especially this year it's really hard in the music industry. You know, you make your living off of groups of people, and then you're not allowed to have groups of people anymore.
Right.
But I'd say definitely some of the things is patience and the best song wins, and those kind of go together. You got to wait on the best song and just kind of hope you find that one that sticks and gets you to where you want to be.
Yeah, I mean, it really can just be one song like that.
No, God willing, it's always coming your way, that one song is, and it can just It can either change your life or ruin your career, I guess.
Yeah, so you speaking of that, you just released a new single called Bad Day to Be a Beer.
Yeah, man.
Do you think that could be the song?
Well, I'll tell you what, we sure hope so. It's a really fun song. We've had it recorded for a while now, actually, and we were supposed to release it earlier this year, but then the world shut down, and it wasn't really the right time to throw out a rockin' party song. So we released a song called Saving for a Rainy Night that actually did really well. But so far we've got tremendous feedback on Bad Day to Be a Beer on all platforms, and especially Apple Music and Pandora and everything. But it really has been great. I don't think it could go any better.
That song's interesting to me because it's got some really, really good writers on there. I mean, Brock Berryhill, Cole Taylor, Ray Fulcher. When did you know that you wanted to cut that song?
Well, as soon as I heard it, I knew I wanted to cut it. And of course, I'm good buddies with Cole Taylor. We're going duck hunting soon. I mean, Ray Fulcher, Dallas, obviously my boss, is on there.
Right.
But I just, as soon as I heard it, I knew I had to record it. And at the time, it was actually on hold for somebody else. But luckily, they ended up not cutting it for whatever reason. I was really happy about it, to say the least.
Yeah, I'm sure. Man, can you tell Cole Taylor to release some more of his music? 'Cause
Dude, he needs to, man.
I
He needs to.
know.
I think he just released a new song, but he just had a new kid, and of course he's got two little rascals running around the house
Sure,
now. So
sure.
he's he's got his hands full. But no, he needs to release some more stuff, and I think he's got some new stuff in the pipeline.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, I hope he does. Speaking of songwriting, have you ever written a song? I'm always curious, and then been sad, if it gets cut by another artist? Because obviously that's a big honor, but like, is there a song that you've wanted to record?
Man, it's always, like you said, it's always that fine line of, oh man, I kind of wanted to cut that, but it's better, it's better somebody else does. My thing is the song always needs to find the right home. And even if I write a song that I think's really, really great, and I think I want to cut it, it might not be the right song for me, even though I wrote it. So sometimes you just got to make the executive decision and talk to your co-writers on it. And so if somebody wants to cut it, that you think might be the perfect fit for it, you got to let that one go.
Yeah, totally. And you got the family ties in country music as well. Obviously, your dad and your uncle and even your cousin Dylan. What was it like to grow up with those influences, and how have they kind of shaped, how you see the industry?
Man, I get asked that a lot, and my answer is always, it was growing up, it was just dad, and it was just Uncle Eddie. And I think Dylan would say the same thing, just Uncle John and Uncle Eddie. But it just so happened that they had a different kind of job. Instead of having a job where he was a lawyer or a doctor or a plumber or whatever that worked on the week, just so happens he was a country music singer and worked on the weekends. But he was just dad to me. And obviously Eddie and dad have great musical influences on me and my music. But it's the main lessons I've learned from dad and Uncle Eddie are definitely just life lessons. And I think that that's a it's really more valuable to me, the life lessons and the music lessons that they've taught me.
Totally, totally. Did you ever feel like forced into music at all?
I never really did feel like that. My parents surrounded me with all these great things growing up. Football, football player, any kind of sports, acting, choir. Obviously, that's musical, but it was a different kind of, different kind of musical. It's not like I was going up on stage alone and playing. But they surrounded me with all these great things and kind of let me find my love on my own, and it just so happens that it was music. But once you get bit with the bug, I think Dad, Eddie, or Dylan would tell you that there's no going back.
Yeah, right. I mean, how could you not when you grow up around that? So then, starting playing music, when did you like get your first guitar?
Oh Lord, I probably got it when I was 5, but I like I said, I'd never really got serious into it, just because I was doing so many other things, whether it was sports or acting. But I'd say it was about five. But once I started really playing, I'd say it was about eighth grade, freshman year of high school.
Yeah, did you get noticed at that point?
Well, I wouldn't say I got noticed, but I got noticed in choir. You know, I was
Sure.
getting a lot of solos and stuff like that. But the high school, sophomore year of high school, freshman year of high school, I think sophomore year was when I had like my first actual show, had a little 3-piece acoustic band, and just went up on stage at a bar called Willie's, locally known in Lexington, Kentucky, and played 2.5 hours worth of covers, you know. That's what you got to do. And that was definitely my first time, I would say, getting noticed. And I was just like, well, this is awesome. This is what I want to do with my life.
Yeah. Did people at your high school know who your dad and your uncle were?
They did, but they didn't really care, so to say. And I don't mean that in a negative way. They just, you know, it's just another thing, you know, just so happens he's a country music singer. He's got a somewhat unique job, so to say. And he's not a lawyer or a doctor. He's a country music singer. But no, they didn't really pay attention to it at all.
Yeah. But did they pay attention to you when you started playing those shows, or was it kind of off to the side?
I mean, my buddies and stuff would come out and support me, and even people that weren't my so-called buddies or anything like that, just come out for some live music and have a good time.
Yeah, no, that's always good. And then as you grew up, you went to University of Kentucky, right?
Yeah, man, I went for a glorious 9 weeks.
What led to, was it just to go do music full time? You just decided
go
for it?
I was at, I, long story short, I was doing a show at the University of Kentucky football stadium, Kroger Field. And I'd just written this song a couple months ago called Simple Town. And we did it, you know, got all the music to it and played it for the first time actually there at Kroger Field. And the radio guy came up to me afterwards. He said, man, if you record that song, I put it on the radio and play it. And, you know, when he tells you that, you got to go record the song.
Yeah.
And, but that was definitely, the kind of the start of where we are now, and the kind of the decline of me going to class and just moving to Nashville.
Right. Yeah. I mean, tough to do both of those full time.
Trust me, I had a great time in college though. I was super kind. And I was living the college experience
for 9 weeks.
Yeah, for 9 weeks.
Yeah. See, don't tell my parents.
they don't want me getting any
ideas. Then you went to Nashville. What's it been like since you've been there? You know, what's kind of the process of gaining traction and then eventually getting signed by Dallas?
Yeah. Look, Nashville is a great town. It's the biggest small. It's the smallest big town in America, I think. But if that makes any sense, it's so big, but it seems like everybody knows each other.
Yeah.
But it's awesome, man. This year's been weird, but it's been weird everywhere. But before COVID hit, I mean, we were rocking and rolling, getting noticed, doing a lot of shows, doing a lot of good shows with a bunch of my buddies, John Langston, Josh Turner. I mean, things happen, COVID happens, and Nashville's kind of weird now, but it's getting back to where it was.
Yeah. How has COVID changed your process, like, creatively?
Well, it's changed in a bunch of ways, countless ways, especially when you're talking about touring and being able to do shows, because we're not able to do shows. But it's been a blessing on the writing side, just because Zoom has become so prevalent.
Yeah.
And if I'm on the road or something in the future when we're allowed to do shows, I don't have to miss a write. I can just hop on the computer and do a Zoom write. And that's been a kind of cool thing, and something that is positive that came out of COVID. But it's definitely changed it. You miss that kind of camaraderie of just being in a writing room with other folks and getting to know each other and being creative together.
Right. There's definitely that element. Because I feel that even with interviews, you know, we've been doing a lot of Zoom interviews for class and stuff.
It's just a totally different thing, but it's what you got to do, you know?
Yep, definitely. Has it opened up more opportunities for you with Zoom writing? You know, people are, I feel like, more willing to hop on Zoom maybe than drive somewhere and meet you.
I think it definitely has in some aspects. Just getting rights with more talented people. Of course, you know, when you're in my situation and if in anybody's situation, you just learn from these great writers like Dallas, like my producers, the Peach Pickers, Red Akins, Dallas, and Ben Hayslip. You know, you're able to write with these guys more often and gals more often just because it's that element of they don't have to drive and you're not taking as much time out of their day. Not that they wouldn't do it, but they're busy people. You know, they're writing hit songs left and right. So it makes them more accessible, especially to their own artists.
Yeah, not totally. Before the pandemic happened, you know, you were playing a bunch of shows. You mentioned, what's your favorite show you ever played?
Whew, man, that's hard right there.
Or at least your favorite person you played with.
Oh, well, I'd have to say John Langston every time. Okay. You know, Langston puts on a really good show. He brings out a good crowd. More importantly, he's just a good dude. He's wild, we always have a good time. I'll tell you that much when we're on tour with Langston. But those are always really good shows, and each show is so different, which is a good thing. You know, it's not like Groundhog Day every time you get on that stage. But definitely going out with Langston is a big blessing, and we always have a big old time.
Have you guys written songs together?
You know, it's actually weird now that I think about it. We haven't written together. Langston and I haven't, but most of the time when we're together, we're on the road.
Right.
You know? So we're doing other things. We're getting ready for shows and hanging out, maybe drinking a fifth of Crown or something like that. But that boy loves his Crown. I don't know what made him do it, but he loves that Crown roll.
Everyone's got their thing.
Yeah.
What's yours?
Man, I'm from Kentucky, so I'm a big bourbon guy. I love Woodford Reserve. If I'm looking to mix something, I'd definitely say, you know, some Maker's Mark or something like that. But some Jefferson's Oceans. I don't know if you've ever had Jefferson's Oceans, but it's a little pricey, but it's worth the extra money because it's just awesome.
Yeah, it might be worth it then. So you got to collaborate with John Langston. We've established that. Have you ever collaborated with Dylan Carmichael, your cousin?
You know, we have, and that's also kind of another family situation where it's just cousin Dylan, you know?
Right.
And we've never written together, I don't even think, but we've done a couple shows together and stuff like that in the music realm. But really, and I think he'd say the same thing, you know, it's just, what's up, cuz? Love you and all that stuff. But the music aspect isn't as strong as it could be, but I kind of like it that way. It's kind of like Dad and Eddie, you know.
Yeah.
It's just straight up family, no business involved, which I think makes it special.
No, that's important. You can't, you know, you want to take that break. You can't be thinking about that 100% of the time.
Yeah.
What's your? Do you keep like all your song ideas in your notes app?
Yeah, I do. Or you know, I'm at a restaurant or something and have an idea. Write it down on a napkin or just put it in the notes app. It depends on wherever it comes to me, you know?
Yeah, totally, totally. What's the most recent idea you've had?
I'm trying to think. We wrote one today. What was it called? It Ain't Too Hard Being Good or something like that. But it was a pretty good song I wrote with a guy named Wynn Varble today. But, no, it's just, you know, especially during COVID, it's totally different because during regular times, you can go on the road and then you get back to Nashville and you start writing songs. So you kind of get that break of each one. But during COVID, you're just straight up writing songs the whole time.
Yeah, you got nothing else to do.
But so I'm not going to say that you get burnt out on it, but it's hard to – it's hard to be creative and keep coming up with ideas and catchy hooks when you're doing it every single day, and you don't get that kind of creative break to go on the road.
Right, right. So would you say you've written more songs over the last 8 months than like any time before that?
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. And that's also one of the perks of Zoom, because you can do it so accessibly.
Right.
But no, I definitely say I have filled my contractible needs of how many songs I need to write.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
I feel like that's definitely an effect of the pandemic. Like, I've seen a lot more music coming out from people, and like Morgan Wallen's doing his double album.
Yeah. Well, hell, there's nothing else to do. You know
yeah.
what I mean? And he cut a couple Played Again songs.
Oh, he did.
One's called What You Think of Country Now, and it's bad to the bone, man, I'm telling you.
Cool, cool. Yeah, I'm excited for that. What's playing on your Spotify right now if you were to just open up, or Apple Music, whatever you have?
Man, you're going to think I'm weird, and but I'm – so I love the, like, 1930s, 1940s swing music.
Okay.
And so that is probably what I listen to other than country the most. Glenn Miller, Helen Forrest, Vera Lynn, God rest her soul, she died this year. But Benny Goodman, I mean, Artie Shaw, all these great people. So I'd say it'd have to be that kind of music, or just straight up 90s country, Tracy Lawrence, you know, Trace Atkins, Craig Morgan, all those people. Tracy Lawrence is might be my number one, though.
Yeah, he's awesome. How did you get into the swing music?
My mother, actually, growing up, would, you know, drive us to school, and I guess at Sirius XM was just kind of starting to be a thing. And she'd always play, you know, Seriously Sinatra, 40s Junction. I think it was called something different back then. But she would always play all those big band kind of stuff. So that's just, other than the, you know, than the country, that's what my sister and I grew up on. So it just kind of, I think it stuck with me a little bit more than it stuck with her. She's kind of into the 70s, 80s Queen and stuff like that. But it's just, you know, I'm a big history guy because of it. I love the 40s and 30s, all those early 20th century times. But I'd say it was definitely my mother's main influence.
You think that ever comes through in your music at all?
I'd say so. Maybe not in the actual instrumentation of the music, but
right.
I'd say definitely in my voice, you can kind of hear my influence of just listening to the Franks, listening to the Bobby Darins, all those, you know, Dean Martins and everything. And it's kind of, I guess it's kind of a weird mix of a little Southern drawl and 1940s swing.
Yeah, it's unique. That's cool. And then for the future, I mean, you said you've written a bunch. Are you going to record mm-hmm. some of those? Are you planning on an album, or what's the plan?
We've gotten about six recorded. I wrote one of them. You know, my mentality is, again, the best song wins. If I write it, that's awesome. If I don't write it, whatever. It doesn't really matter to me. But I just want to get the best songs that fit me and the most relatable songs. We've got, I think, six recorded right now. And the budget will reset at the beginning of 2021. So hopefully we'll be able to go in and record a bunch more. But we've got a plan for a few more to come out. I think one's going to come out in January. But right now we're focusing on Bad Day to Be Beer.
Right.
And like I said, it's you know, the feedback has been almost all positive, and it's been tremendous so far.
Yeah, no, that's a great song. Especially, I feel like it's a fall song. I think you chose a good time to put it out.
Yeah, man. Well, hopefully, you know, by the time we're able to do shows and stuff, people will know it and be able to sing along and be able to chug the beer and be able to go to a show, bottom line.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
What's your favorite song you've recorded of those six that you're talking about?
Well, I'd say, you know, I think my favorite song that I've recorded is Bad Day to Be a Beer. But we've got a couple. I recorded a song that Morgan Wallen wrote called Out of Nowhere. And it's a great song. I was so blessed to be able to cut it. Wrote a song that Luke Bryan and Dallas Davidson, my boss, wrote called Country Boy. And there wouldn't be a country boy. The title is it. the song's not what you expect, but man, we've got some good stuff in the pipeline, and I'm blessed to be able to keep on doing what I'm doing when a lot of people aren't able to do what they love because of COVID or whatever. For all the stuff that we can't do, we're trying to make up for it, and the stuff that we can do, and that means going in, cutting the best songs that we can, and putting the pedal to the metal when you're writing songs, and trying to be the most productive that we can.
Yeah, I mean, those are some big time writers on those ones. Do you ever feel like added pressure when it's someone like Luke Bryan or Morgan Wallen who wrote it?
well, hell to hell now I do. My mentality on that is I'm blessed and I'm grateful that they trust me with that song. And because people like, I mean, every other song that they write's going to be a hit.
Right.
And if not, almost every song. And it's just, and same thing with all these guys. Hardy, I mean, all these guys are just fantastic writers. Brock Berry Hill, Cole Taylor. But I'm just, you know, I'm appreciative that they trust me with the song. And I hope we make them proud when we cut it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, I'll let you get going here.
I appreciate you having me on, brother.
And again, thanks to Walker Montgomery for coming on the show. And, you know, you can hear the excitement in his voice when he's talking about his new music and the new projects, the new cuts that he has coming out. Song written by Morgan Wallen, one by Luke Bryan. That's pretty exciting. Very, very curious to see how those are going to sound, and ready for that new music from Walker. I think that it's about time that, you know, he really takes that next step in his career. And I think this will be the songs that will get him noticed and really get his name out there and circulating in, you know, in the ways that we see Mitchell Tenpenny or someone like that climbing up the ranks. And I think that he could be the next kind of Matt Stell out there with the radio hits and everything coming up Walker Montgomery lately. So again, thanks to him for coming on the show. I had a great time chatting with him, and make sure you stay tuned to the Twitter at Up and Country to keep an eye out for any new updates and new episodes coming out here in season 2. Can't wait for it. Again, I'm Mike Everard. Thanks for listening.
For more, make sure to check out Up and Country on Twitter and follow @Blaze_Country. New episodes coming every week, so make sure to keep